Most of you will know that some weeks ago I began to speak to you about faith. And I've spoken on the subject of faith twice. And this evening I want to continue with that. And, well, you'll forgive me that I want to go over some of the ground we've covered. I know that might be that we're making progress slowly, but it's too important to rush and to lose it. Now, we're talking about faith, and some of the Bible books speak about believing. So faith and believing really speak about the same thing. So we're talking about faith, and we're talking about believing, believing in God, believing in Christ, believing his word. And I want to remind you, first of all, that faith is absolutely necessary for salvation. For salvation. Now, if you follow the reading, you'll notice verse 6. In verse 6, this writer says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Can you see how important it is? Without faith, you and I, anyone else, it is impossible to please God. That's another way of saying that it is essential that we have faith, or we are believers, if we are going to be saved. If we are going to be saved. Just before our chapter, it says in the first verse, that just before we began our chapter, it says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition. What it's aware that some people, as it were, draw back. They don't press into the heavenly kingdom, the country. They draw back to perdition. In other words, they draw back from God to the loss of their souls. They destroy themselves because they do not have faith. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he says to them, let me read it to you. His great words, listen. It's, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, listen, that whoever believes in him, there's faith, whoever believes in him should not perish, but instead have everlasting life. And he says again, he who believes in him, he who believes in Christ, is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Can you see why I am concerned with the subject of faith? Because on this subject turns your and my eternal happiness. It is a terrible thing to be an unbeliever and to perish for eternity. It is a great thing to receive faith from God and not perish, but have everlasting life. Can anyone say, well, this doesn't matter? Surely not. To have everlasting life matters. Now, think about this. God has made himself known. And he has given, we just read, he has given his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Saviour of sinners. This morning, we remembered how Jesus Christ died for the sins of his people, that he was buried, he died for our sins, your sins and mine, that he was raised from the dead on the third day, and we can go on and say, and he is coming back to call his people to himself. Now, all of that does no good to anyone unless they receive it in faith. That's why it's so important. There is the great salvation in Christ, But you get nothing unless you receive it in believing in him and in faith. So then I move on and I ask the question that I asked about 2 weeks ago. This is the question: how can a man obtain faith? How can a man obtain faith? How does he get faith? And really, there are three things that we have to say about that. First of all, faith is a gift of God. It is God who gives faith to any man. It is a gift, a free gift. So it's obvious, isn't it, that in order to get faith, we must receive it from God. It is an invisible spiritual gift. It's not something that comes wrapped up in a box and ribbons. It is a spiritual gift given by God to men and women. So first of all, it is a gift of God. It is something that he gives. Secondly, it is the work of the Holy Spirit within a man. And when you think about these two things, I'll say what the third is in a minute. When you think about these two things, that we have to ask God that he will give us faith. And we depend utterly on the work of the Holy Spirit to create it within us. And you say, well, because of this then, I am helpless. I cannot do it for myself. And you're right. You're right. You can only ask God for the gift of faith. And you can only ask that his Holy Spirit will come into your heart and into your life and change you and give you eyes to see Christ and faith to receive his promises. So we are committed to coming humbly to God and say, Lord, give me faith so that I will not perish. May your Holy Spirit let me see and believe in your Son so that I might not perish but have everlasting life. So it is a gift of God and it is the work of the Holy Spirit. But thirdly, listen, faith comes through hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, he says this. Let me read it. He says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall any person who has never heard about Jesus Christ and about his saving work, how can they ever believe? And if they don't believe, how can they call upon him? Paul is saying, he says in the end, he says this, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, if anyone wants to be a believer, if you want to believe, you have to hear, and you have to hear the word of God read and preached. Now, I want to press on a little bit more this evening and remind you further of this, that God knows the thoughts of our hearts. Right? When we look at one another, we haven't got a clue what we're thinking about, because the heart is hidden from one another. But God sees the heart. And in the Bible, in one place after another, God has shown us what happens in the heart and mind of a believer. He has given us what he knows about the way in which faith is formed in the soul. And we need to pay great attention to this, because if we are to be believers, then that work of God must go on in our hearts and our souls. And so let me ask you to turn again to Hebrews chapter 11 for a moment. If you have a Bible, and if it's open before you. Look at the text with me once again. You see, in Hebrews 11, which I read, there's a record of, I don't know, how many men and women of faith. Is it 40? I don't know. There's lots of them. And they're all men and women of faith. But in that chapter, it shows us something about what was going on in their minds. Look at these verses with me. Verse 11. There you have Sarah. What was going on in Sarah's mind? You see, Sarah, God had spoken to Sarah. She was 90 years old, and he had come to her with a promise. You will have a son. Now, Sarah had to think about the word of God, the promise, and yet her own old age. But look what she did. It says in this verse, she judged him faithful who had promised. I want you to notice the word judged. You see, when Sarah heard the word of God, she formed a judgment upon it. And she actually formed a judgment upon God. This God who has promised me this child is a faithful God. He is true. When he speaks, he will do what he said. And there must have been other things in her mind that this is impossible to me, but nothing is impossible to God. Can you see how one of the things going on in Sarah's mind is that she is judging the word of God and judging God, or forming a view of it, reaching a conclusion. This is part of the way faith works. We hear the word of God and we judge that word. We say, it is true, he is true. Or some pass the wrong judgment and say, he is a liar. God is a liar. He cannot do these things. That's unbelief. That's the kind of thing that will put you in hell. Faith says God is able. God is faithful. She judged him faithful. What about verse 13? In verse 13, can you find the word embraced in that word, in that verse? They had received promises of a country, a city, a heavenly country, a new heavens and a new earth. What lay ahead? And it says, they embraced the promises. That's part of faith. They embraced them. They received them. And then what about verse 16? Same people. What were they doing? They were desiring what God had promised. They thought about what God had promised. What? A heavenly city? A heavenly country? Eternal life? They said, we desire it. We desire it. They desired it more than, as in Abraham's case, more than the country that he'd left. Said, I don't want to look back to Ur of the Chaldees, says Abraham. I want to look forward to the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. And then, just keeping going for a moment, look at verse 25. I'll stop at verse 25 on this point. Can you see what Moses did? What did Moses do? When he heard God's word and knew God, he chose. He made a choice. Moses, by faith, chose the things of God and rejected the things of Egypt. You know that in Egypt he had all those treasures. He'd, by curious providences, he'd been adopted as the son of Pharaoh. Or son of Pharaoh's daughter. And the riches of Egypt were open to him. But because of his understanding of God's ways and words, and because he knew that God was true, he made a choice. He said, I would rather have the affliction of God's people than the riches of the wicked, the riches of the world. In one sense, every believer makes that choice. Every believer chooses for God and not for the world. And that may come out in your life, my life, in different ways. But we say, our future is not in this world. This world is not my home. My home is where Christ is. My home is in the future. When Christ returns, then I will be home. And all of these believers, can you see that the Bible is telling us, this is how a believer thinks. Now let me remind you again, and those who've heard this, forgive me for repetition, but last time I preached, I said to you that there are I said there are ten, as it were, steps that take place in the heart of a man when the Holy Spirit is bringing him into faith. 10 steps. And last time, I believe I managed to get to number 6 or 7. I got a feeling tonight I might not get past number 3. But never mind. There are these steps that go on, that the Lord leads a man's heart through this process in forming faith in him. Well, what are these steps? Let me remind you. Let me remind you of the first 3. Okay? We've already touched on the first. First, there must be hearing of the Word of God. Okay? Do you get that? There must be hearing of the Word of God. Second, there must be thinking about it. It's not enough just to hear the words. We have to stop and think about it. And we have to think about it until, thirdly, we come to an understanding of it. Okay? Now, these are the first 3 steps. Listen to them. First, we must hear. Hear what God the Lord has said. Secondly, it's no good forgetting it and letting it drop out of your mind the moment you've heard it. No, we must dwell on it, think about it. Think about what God has said, made known. Think about God. Think about Christ. Think about his promises to his people. This is something worth thinking about, but then we must pursue that until we come to an understanding of it. So we have the Bible. It's available to us. We have men who preach it to us. There is something to hear. There is something to listen to. But we have to do something with it. We have to think about it. And we have to come to the point where we say, got it. I see. I understand. I've got it. Now, these 3 steps give a man or woman knowledge. All right? Knowledge. And this is very important. The foundation of faith is to know who God is, what he is like, who Jesus Christ is, what he has done, what God has promised. If we don't know these things, how can we believe them? The foundation is the knowledge of God and of things invisible and eternal and of Christ and of the future and the way of salvation, the word of truth. Now, this is very practical. In fact, it's vital. Because, you see, if we stay away from church, then we are not in the position to hear, are we? And simply by staying away, you are closing the opportunity to hear, think, understand, and obtain the knowledge of things spiritual. So, if the word of God is being read and preached here, and you're there, then this is a vital mistake that people make. So, I wasn't there when it was preached and taught. Yes, you've missed the word of God. But then, sadly, There are people who fall asleep while the word of God is being preached. And you can't hear the word of God when you fall asleep. You miss it. You miss it. Can you see what I'm saying? This is so practical. When we are thinking about how shall I get faith, or how shall I come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, then you will say to yourself, if I don't get under the ministry, and if I don't stay wide awake and pay attention to it, I won't be a believer. I'll be an unbeliever, and I will perish. This is pivotal in your life. And there are those who hear, but they do not think about it. It's gone as soon as the sermon is over. They go out through the door, and they shut the door, and they shut the door on the word. That's gone. On to other things. These are mistakes that people make, and when they make these mistakes, it means that they will not be a believer. They will not know God. They will not know Jesus Christ. They will not know the promises of God with regard to Christ. They won't know that He died for their sins. They will not know that He rose again from the dead. They will not know that He is coming again. There's so many things. They will not know how to please God. They will not know how to come into the holy city, the heavenly Jerusalem. All is lost. All is lost. This will be the unbeliever. This will be the man who is ignorant. The ignorant man. Listen, the ignorant man cannot be a believer. Can you find any man anywhere who is utterly ignorant of the word of God and yet you can describe him as a believer? No, you can't. The unbeliever is ignorant and he is lost. That's the sad truth. Now let me just say, I mustn't go too far tonight, I'm sorry, but this hearing, this thinking, this coming to understanding, this is the activity of disciples. Okay? Go to the Gospels and see what the disciples did. They listened while Christ was teaching. They followed him up onto the hillside to hear him teach. They went with him into the temple and sat in Solomon's portico, or in the upper room, or in the house of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. They were with him because they were listening to him teach. A disciple seeks the teaching of Christ. This is what it is, at least partly, to be a disciple of Jesus. He says to them, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. I say to young people here, this is a great time in your life to become a disciple. To become one of those people that learns of Christ. Don't pass up the opportunity. Don't say, I'll think about that when I'm 55. You may not even reach 55. Now is the opportunity. Now is the opportunity to be a real learner of Jesus Christ. So, let me say this to you about this point. One of the most vicious attacks of the devil is at this point. Satan wants to rob you of the truth, of the word of God. That's one of the ways he works. You know, in around about the year 1850 in this country, maybe a little bit earlier, so at that point in British history, there's a terrible shift took place in people's thinking. Do you know what the shift was? It was a shift from knowledge to feeling. All of a sudden, clever people were saying to Christians and everyone else, it's not about what you know, it's about what you feel. So the great emphasis was shifted from knowledge of God and his word to what you feel like. Now, some of us last week might have been very glad that a judge in this country made a decision that a biological man could not become a woman. But do you know, you may say, however did a man imagine that he could be a woman? Well, I'll tell you how. Because the shift was away from objective to subjective. Everyone was saying, well, it doesn't matter what you really are, it's what you feel. Now, this same shift happened in the Christian church. Shifted people from objective truth to their feelings about it. And this has shaped the church for the last 200 years or so. Now let me tell you that Jesus Christ tells us to build our lives not on our feelings, but on his words. He describes his commandments as a rock on which they can stand. Build your house on the rock of the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you build your life on your feelings, let me tell you, feelings fluctuate moment by moment. They do. You might have been feeling more like a Christian this morning than you do tonight. I can't vouch for your feelings. If you follow your feelings, your life will be full of wavering and doubt. What does Christ call us to do? He calls us to build our lives upon his word. And I think that's probably, although I wanted to go further, and God willing I will next Sunday evening, this is enough of a lesson for us tonight. Satan wants to rob you of the word of God. And if he robs you of the word of God, he will keep you in unbelief and you will perish. Christ wants you to hear his word and to receive it. And it's by hearing his word and placing your trust not in yourself, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will be saved. Christ is presented to us by God. Here is my son. Here is the one who has lived a righteous life for you. Here is the one who has died a terrible death under the judgment of the law for you. Here is the one you can come to and through his death have your sins forgiven and be right with God. Here is the one who rose from the dead. He was victorious over sin and death and the devil. In him is life. And these are the things that the Bible presents to you and to the world and says to you, receive him. Come, receive Christ. Catch hold of him. Embrace him. There is everlasting life. And I do, although I'm in one sense being perhaps brief tonight, I do commend this to you. I do say to you, order your life to make sure that you hear the word of God. Come and hear it. Christ says, come to me, what all you who labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come and do what, Lord? Come and learn of me. Come and learn of Christ. You know, if I can put it this way, do all in your power to put yourself in front of the word, wide awake and listening and thinking, so that you don't lose the truth and you become an ignorant man, an unbeliever. It is, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen.